Now, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, let's notice the 18th and 19th verses for a text tonight. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation. The word conversation, you know, the Greek word translated conversation means your manner of life or your conduct. And so that you were not redeemed from your manner of life, vain manner of life, former conduct, in other words, before you were saved, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now notice the expression, redeem with the precious blood of Christ. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is the precious blood of Christ. You know, circumstances make things precious. I don't know whether you realize or not how precious health is until you get sick. Amen. I don't know whether you realize how precious it is to live without pain until you suffer pain. I don't know whether you realize how precious food is until you suffer hunger. But hunger will make food and bread precious. And thirst will make water precious. And poverty will make riches precious. Well, sin makes the blood of Jesus Christ precious. For without the shedding of blood, the Bible said, there is no remission of sins. There is no remission of sin. And so the Word of God teaches us, as our text said, that the blood of Christ is precious. We're redeemed with the precious blood. It is precious because, as this text said, of its redeeming power. Redeemed not with silver or with gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Paul, in preaching, in giving his farewell message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, in Acts the 20th chapter and the 28th verse, said unto those elders or pastors, because that's what they were, of the church at Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. You see, these elders, as they were called, were overseers. The same Greek word translated overseers is translated bishop. And the bishop's office is the pastoral office. That's the reason I said they were pastors. Notice that they were to feed the church of God. Therefore, they were teachers or preachers called to that ministry. Feed the church of God, he said, which he has purchased. Hallelujah. With his own blood. Praise God. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious because of its cleansing power. Notice 1 John, the first chapter, the 7th verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We sing, or used to sing, and I think some of those old songs, like Ken said, we need to learn to sing them again. We used to sing quite frequently, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now notice that he said, cleanse us from all sin. Over in Revelation, the very first chapter, and the 5th verse, it said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Praise God. You see, the Word of God teaches us that we have a better covenant established upon better promises. Well, under the Old Testament, you can see they shed the blood of animals. Those innocent animals were a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God speaks of him as a lamb without spot and without blemish. That blood only covered their sins. And they had to go through it all again in the process of time. You know, if I were to, on this this leather Bible case, if I were to spill some blue ink or black ink or something that's not the same color, well, I could cover it up with my hand and you couldn't see it, but it's still there. And so it was under the old covenant. The sin nature was still in man. Their sins were only covered. But thank God, one thing that makes our covenant so much better is that He has washed us, cleansed us from all sin. Praise God in His own blood. Now, I want to come back to that verse in a minute, 1 John 1:7. But I want us to go to the book of Revelation for a moment. Notice some things that the writer of the book of Revelation had to say. Notice that he said, well, let's look in the 8th verse first. But now, talking about Jesus, the 8th chapter, that is, and the 6th verse, but now hath he, talking about Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, hallelujah, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, but I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Now, skip back to the 7th chapter for just a moment and notice something that he said about that covenant. He says this, talking about... Well, we'll just start right here at the 25th verse of the 7th chapter. Wherefore he is able, talking about Jesus under the new covenant, and who has shed his blood and become our high priest, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests under the old covenant, you see, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Hallelujah. So therefore he has obtained, praise God, a more excellent ministry. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now then, let's skip over for just a moment to the 9th chapter of Hebrews and see something further that the writer of the Hebrews had to say about Jesus. But Christ, let's start with the 11th verse. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, hallelujah, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, hallelujah, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more. Woo! Glory to God. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience. Hallelujah. From dead works to serve the living God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, let's go back for just a moment and hold your place there in Hebrews. I'm coming back to it again in a moment. Notice again, I said that it is precious because of its cleansing power. But if we walk, now John isn't writing to sinners. We know we quote this to sinners very often, but really it belongs to Christians. John didn't write this letter to the world. Are you listening to me? He wrote this letter to the church. But if we walk in the light, see, sinners are not walking in the light. That's the reason they need to come to Jesus and be born again and get in the light. I want you to see something here now. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, what about us? What? We have fellowship with a few. One another. You ever see these folks that sort of pull off and sort of have a secluded, you know, a little bless me group? Nobody but us. Don't you fellowship with any other Christian. You just stay with us. They're out of fellowship. I said, they're out of fellowship. Amen. They're out of fellowship with the body of Christ. They're out of fellowship with fellow Christians. It is, you see, as we walk in the light as he's in the light, because we all make mistakes. That's just human nature. I mean, this body is not redeemed yet. Thank God it's going to be one of these days. So there's none of you perfect. You know, I'm about the only one I know of that's really perfect. Amen. You know, and I'd have to repent for lying if I really meant that. You know, I'm just a joking. But you see, and so there are imperfections about us. And we miss it. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. See, as long as you walk in the light, even though you missed it, there's a continual cleansing of sin. Now, when you know you missed it, of course, you confess it, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But you know, we miss it a lot of times when we don't even know it. Did you hear me? You know, I pastored nearly 12 years. And I'll be honest with you, every church that I pastored, when I left that church, and because I pastored more than one that 12-year period, I thought, you know, I just did a good job, jam-up job. Just splendid, you know. And after I got away from that church and grew up a little more spiritually, you know, I got so embarrassed, I was ashamed to even go back and face the people. I did such a poor job. Amen, that's the truth. But thank God, you see, because I was walking in all the light I had, well, the Lord cleansed me from that mistake and that fault and that failure and that shortcoming. Are you listening to me? Amen. Are you listening? But there's a thought that I want to emphasize here. As if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If you're out of fellowship with your brother, you're not walking in the light. And he infers that there's no cleansing of your sin till you get back walking in the light. If you get off into one of these little groups, you know, that don't fellowship with anybody else, no, we forbid you. We forbid you. Think about that. My God, some pastor forbid Christians to fellowship with fellow Christians, with their brother and sister. Don't shout me down now, because I'm preaching real good, because a lot of that stuff's going on. I said a lot of that stuff's going on. Think about that. Think about that. What would you think of a daddy or a mother that would tell one of their children, don't you have anything to do with your brother and sister? That's the same thing, exactly the same thing. Don't have anything to do with them. Don't you have anything to do with that little baby, because it's still wearing diapers. See, you don't wear diapers anymore. So don't you even love it. Don't you have anything to do with it, because it's still on the bottle. And you see, you're not on the bottle anymore. Don't shout me down now, because I'm preaching real good. Come on, you might as well say amen.
Amen.
Those folks are out of fellowship. Are you listening to me? They're claiming everybody else is out of fellowship, but they're the ones that's out of fellowship. They need to get right with God. Amen. Now, I pastored nearly 12 years. I never did tell my people, thank God I had intelligent people. Now, I realized that if a fella had folks that weren't right bright, that you might have to try to tell them where to go and where not to go. But I had intelligent people, thank God, and spiritual people. And I never did tell them, don't go anywhere. I remember one church I pastored during World War II down in East Texas. And they was a full gospel church of my same full gospel denomination on one side of me 3 miles this way and another one 3 miles the other way. My church here right here, you see. Well, a fellow came along that wasn't of our, he's full gospel, all right, but he's not of our full gospel persuasion, you see. And so he puts up a tent right between, and I think he had an ulterior motive in it, all right, but that's him and God. I mean, I'm not a judge. Puts his tent up right between me and one of these churches, halfway, you see. Well, I'm visiting, you know, you see, we're all on the same street, same highway, actually, it went right through the same town. Amen. And so his tent's right up that, you see. This pastor said to me, what are you going to do about that? And I said, not a thing in the world. Well, I'm going to forbid my people to go. I said, you're foolish. I said, you're foolish. Because just as sure as you tell them not to go, they'll go. Amen. You know, because there's too many spiritual children among us, you know. And you know, do you ever come in home, you know, with a sack or package or something, put it up in the closet and say to the kids, now don't you go in there, especially if it's close to Christmas time. And of course, they don't go anywhere near that. They'd stay completely away. No, no. Just as soon as your back's turned, they're in there. Huh? Did you ever come in just with a sack of groceries or something in the grocery store and set it down in the kitchen, you know, on the counter or the table or something, and say to a little kid, stay out of there now, don't you get in there. And you go on next room calling your wife or something, come back in there, and of course they're just standing there looking at that sack. I mean, you know, they never bothered at all. No, no, they're right in it. Well, this man said, I'm going to forbid my people to go. I think that fellow's wrong. Well, I said, I think he's wrong too in some of his teaching. But yet there's so much of it that he's right in. Amen. You can be wrong in your head and right in your heart. No, I said, I'm not even going to mention him. I'm not even going to mention that he's there. Well, he said, he's just as close to you as he is me. I think he's going to build a church and start a church. Well, I said, probably is. I don't know whether he is or not, but there's plenty of people around here, praise God. Yeah, but he's liable to get some of our members. Well, I said, he's no threat to me. What threat is a mule barn to a grocery store? That's exactly what I said to him. I'm feeding my people. Glory to God. Well, he got up and forbid his folks to go, lost 7 of the best families in his church. Almost lost their church property because he didn't have the support of these best and most prosperous families. I never lost a person. I never even mentioned he's there. Until finally the controversial old people kept asking me, I thought, well, I better make a public statement. So on one Sunday morning, I said, I'm going to make one statement, and that's all I'm going to make. We have services here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. When we have service, I expect you to be here. The rest of the time, you're intelligent, you're smart people. Go wherever you want to go, but wherever you go, just have as much sense as an old cow. Eat the hay and leave the sticks and come on back and just worship God. Hallelujah. Amen. I never lost a member. Actually, in 12 years of pastoral work, I never did lose any members to any other church. Never. I would usually, and I meant it sincerely, about at least once every 3 months, sometimes a little more often, I'd make this announcement to my people. In those days, on Sunday morning, mostly just your own people there. Sunday night was evangelistic type service. But I would just make mention to my people ever so often, I want you folks to know this, I love you, I have your interest at heart. If there's any other church in town, if there's any other church anywhere close to you that you can go to, get better fed, grow spiritually, win more souls to Jesus, I insist you go. Because I have your welfare at heart. I mean every word of it. Wouldn't have bothered me at all if somebody had said, Brother Hagin, I'm going over here. I can get better fed. I'd said, glory to God, go right on. I told you to. I love you. I want you to. I can win more souls over there. See, we ought to be out for the kingdom. Amen. Not for our own kingdom. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. Well, what's that got to do with this? If we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. These little exclusive bless me clubs. Nobody comes but us. And you don't go anywhere else but here or out of fellowship with the rest of the body of Christ. Amen. You might as well say amen. Praise God. That's the truth. Whether you believe it or not, it's still the truth. But thank God, if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship. Everybody said, we have fellowship.
We have fellowship.
With a few. We have fellowship with those that I select. No, with one another. One another. One another. One another. One another. And the blood, hallelujah, of Christ Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It is precious because of its cleansing power. Hallelujah. Now notice Colossians 1:20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. His blood is precious because of its pacifying power. You see, first of all, it pacifies the broken law. And we've all sinned and broken the law of God. For the word of God says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, you see, he has made peace through the blood of his cross to reconcile to himself. God did it unto himself. Hallelujah, all things. Not only does that blood, it's precious because of its reconciling, because of its pacifying power. It not only pacifies the broken law, but thank God it pacifies the guilty conscience. You know, I think that's one reason that a lot of Christians go around and feel so guilty. We have not magnified the blood of Jesus as we ought. For if they know, as they ought to know about the blood of Jesus, they'll no longer have a guilty conscience. Are you listening to me? Let's go back for a moment here to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and pick up on the thought that the writer of Hebrews was explaining, teaching to the Hebrew Christians. Let's start with the very first verse. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can those sacrifices there under the old covenant, which they offered year by year, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. You shouldn't have that guilt conscience. You shouldn't have any more conscience of sins. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Amen. But in those sacrifices, there under the old covenant, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. above when he saith, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then saith he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He take away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, hallelujah, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Woo! Glory! Sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Woo! Glory to God. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of sin is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. Woo, I don't know whether I'm helping you or not. I'm preaching me happy. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Glory to God. I said glory to God. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, hallelujah. I said, oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. And so his blood is precious because of its pacifying power. Pacifies not only the broken law, but pacifies a guilty conscience. His blood is precious because of its reconciling power. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ, ye who were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. No, you didn't do it yourself. He did it. It's his blood. It's his blood. Hallelujah. Now notice scripture we looked at here in this 10th chapter of Hebrews 19th and 20th verse. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. No, you don't come by your own name. You don't come with your own righteousness. I don't care how many good works, how much right conduct you have. You still have to come by the blood of Jesus. Here's one of the most difficult things in the world to get over to people. I know, I've been preaching healing for so many years. So many people want to get healed because they've been a good Christian. Well, thank God we ought to be a good Christian, but you're not going to get healed because you're a good Christian. You're sure not going to get healed because you're a bad Christian. But you're going to get healed because you believe in Jesus. Amen. And His blood. Amen. Minister said to me, Brother Hagin, now you're a faith and healing preacher. I was holding him a revival meeting in his church. I said, I am. I'll plead guilty. I'm a faith and healing preacher. Now he said, I've got a question for you. Well, he looked so serious, I braced myself and got myself ready for the $64,000 question. He told me a story about a man he didn't know, didn't belong to his church, but sent word through somebody else if he'd come pray for him. I went to pray for him. The fellow had had a stroke of paralysis, couldn't talk. I couldn't understand one word he said. Didn't know whether he's a Christian or not, but evidently he must believe in divine healing because he was looking for somebody to pray for him, praise God. So he anointed him with oil and prayed, said, no, it wasn't my faith, because I said, well, I'll go back and maybe he'll be, you know, because he is sedated and maybe he'll be better where I can talk to him. Maybe if I can get him saved, then I can get him healed. Two or three days later, he said, I was back in the part of town where he lived, went by there and his wife was raking leaves in the yard, and I stopped my car, you know, and got out and said, well, how's Mr. So-and-so? She said, well, he's working. Working, he had a stroke. His left arm was paralyzed. His left leg was paralyzed. Doctor said he'd never work another day in his life, 67 years of age. He said, I went by where the man was working because he's a carpenter and he's shingling a house. I saw him go down, you know, because his helper was gone. He climbed down the ladder off the house, took a bundle of shingles in that same arm that 3 days before was paralyzed. He couldn't move it. Doctor said he'd never work another day. Put that bundle of shingles on his shoulder, climbed the ladder. I sat there and marveled. Well, I said, brother, you haven't asked me anything. You've told me something. Well, wait a minute, I'm going to get around to it. Now, he said, you know Sister So-and-so? Yeah, I said, I know her. Member of his church. She was a member of, she and her husband, of the church that I'd pastored. However, they had moved away the time I got there. And every report I heard was wonderful, marvelous Christians. You know, he said, she's the most wonderful Christian that I've ever pastored, never known all my pastoral work. Most dedicated, most consecrated, most wonderful Christian. And she has a tumor. Now, you prayed for her when you were here last year in revival. You prayed for her twice this revival. I'd laid hands on her three times, and she's worse and stood it better. Now then, she's facing a major surgery. How come God to heal that man of unspecified, you don't know about his spiritual condition, and here's such a good Christian, why come she don't get healed? Oh, I said, I thought you was going to ask me something hard. Easiest thing in the world. Easiest thing in the world. I don't know anything about the man. I do know he got healed. But I'm sure of this, that even if he wasn't where he should be to begin with, that he probably was like the publican. Remember the story of the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee said, I want to thank you, Father, that I'm not as other men. I'm better than they are. Went on to brag about what all he did. The poor publican smote himself on the breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible said he went down rather justified in the sight of God instead of the other man. I'm sure that man, no matter what his status was, just threw himself over on the mercy of God, hallelujah, and not only received forgiveness of sins if he needed it, but received healing for his body. But I said, now, Ben, as you asked me, I haven't told anybody. But you see, when I laid hands on Sister So-and-so, she's standing right there in front of me. Her face is not over, maybe 15 inches from my face, or a foot maybe, see? I heard her say when I laid hands on her, now, Lord, you know I'm the best Christian in this church. You can't come bragging on yourself even if you are the best Christian in the church. Are you listening? Amen. And receive from God. It's all by the blood. Amen. Are you listening to me? In fact, I used to, in having healing services in the churches, I'd have them to sing just like they did when you had an altar call. Sing just as I am. For people to get healed, yes. Yes, don't come. I don't care how many good works you've done. I don't care if you are the best Christian in the church. Thank God you'll be rewarded for good works. Are you listening to me? But when you come, come boldly by the blood of Jesus, not by your good works. Are you listening to me? But you see, the thing about it is that we've heard so much on the other side preached until folks want to try to brag on themselves. Well, we haven't got anything to brag on ourselves about. no matter how good a Christian we are. Are you listening to me? So as I said, in healing services, I used to have them to sing, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come, I come." Hallelujah. Just throw yourself over upon his mercy. Now notice here, Hebrews 19, 10th chapter, 19th verse, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." Why do we have the boldness? Because I'm somebody big? I'm a bold person? I'm a brave person? No, the boldness is produced because I know about the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I come washed in his blood. I come robed in his righteousness. Glory to God. Not mine, but his. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. He went on to say, "By a new and a living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh." Hallelujah. Now notice, "and having a high priest over the house of God," that's the 21st verse now, "let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, having our hearts," and you know your heart's your spirit, in this case at least, "sprinkled from an evil conscience." Hallelujah. You see, he said, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. I will not remember thine iniquities. So he doesn't remember them. What do you want to remember them for? Now, as long as the devil can keep you thinking of past mistakes, past failures, past shortcomings, he has you at a disadvantage. Are you listening to him? But thank God, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, 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 wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Precious, redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. Glory to God. Now then, notice Revelation 12:11. You got your shouting clothes on tonight?
Amen.
Praise God. Now listen. Revelation 12:11, "And they overcame him," that's talking about the devil, bless God, here, "by the blood of the Lamb." Amen. "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." Now the word of their testimony would be the right confession. We preached a lot about faith confessions, and a lot of folks have made a lot of confessions, but I don't think they know as they should about the blood of the Lamb. He didn't just say they overcame by the word of their testimony. He didn't just say they overcame by the word of their confession, did he? I said, did he? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I like another translator uses the word because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of Jesus Christ is precious because of its overcoming power. Hallelujah. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and by or because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame. Thank God there is overcoming power in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Power to overcome the world. Power to overcome the fear of death. Power to overcome the power of the devil. Power to overcome all evil. In the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Precious blood. You see why it's so precious? Hallelujah. The author of that book, The Challenge in Counterfeit, who when he wrote the book was a full gospel pastor, but for about 19 years he was in spiritism and was a spiritist pastor. Now he says that he was sincere and honest, you know, he just didn't know about Jesus. You know, if the devil's going to set up a church, of course, you couldn't counterfeit. Did you ever see a counterfeit $3 bill? No, because there's no $3 bill to pattern after. Are you listening? So if the devil's going to set up a church, then he's going to counterfeit. He's going to pattern it after God's. And this man went on to say, we had counterfeit all the gifts of the Spirit in counterfeit. But there was one thing he said, and we sang the same songs that you sing in Christian church. But he said, there's one thing that bothered me, and here's one thing that got him started to thinking. You could sing about the blood of Jesus. You could sing about the name of Jesus. But when you begin to sing, there's power in the blood, I noticed these spirits got agitated. Amen. I said, amen. Sure, Jesus said, in my name they'll cast out devils, but did you ever stop to think about it? It's all based on the blood. You see, you can't just single out one part of it. Are you listening to me? Sometimes, you see, folks want to be so, you know, they think they're so word conscious, and that's good, all right, if you'll take the whole word, not just part of it, rightly divide the word. Are you listening to me? They overcame him by or because, another translation uses the word because, of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I remember, you know, I came out of the Baptist over into full gospel and Pentecostal circles. And they were always pleading the blood. I didn't know what they was talking about at first, but finally when I began to examine the scripture, I understood exactly what they was talking about. And what they were doing got results. That's one thing I noticed. It got results. You can't argue with success. I read the testimony about the time I came into Pentecostal circles. I read the testimony of a full gospel Pentecostal missionary on the foreign field. This missionary, lady missionary, was there in a mission station. There was another man or woman there, but they'd gone on another visit. She was there by herself, sort of holding down the local missionary church. She was down the main part of whatever little old village or town it was and looking at some things and a particular kind of scorpion that they have there, bitter. Now, there's no antidote for it. When this scorpion bites you, you're dead. That's it. You're dead. Everybody knows that. Well, she's right out there on the street when that thing fastened itself onto her hands. She said, I just shook it off and said, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. Did you ever stop thinking about the name of Jesus? Really wouldn't work if it wasn't for the blood. Are you listening to me? It all goes together. I plead the blood against this thing. Well, she said, see, folks was watching her. She's supposed to die right away now. Because they do. I mean, there's no cure. No one ever has lived. But she just went her way, walking back down towards the little missionary village church until finally the whole village was following her. Because she's going to fall dead. But nothing ever happened to her. She went inside the church. They all came inside. At least one time she had a full house. They couldn't all get in there. She didn't fall dead. Amen. She's writing the story and published a message in one of the periodicals many months after, a year after, and she's still alive. She just started church. The building's full. Why not have church in the middle of the afternoon? Amen. She didn't die. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood against this. See, her understanding of the blood was a little different than some folks. Are you listening to me? Amen. They overcame him by the blood, because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The word of their confession. You see, testimony is part of confession. You understand that, don't you? The two of them combined. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood. Oh, glory to God. So I picked that up from those Pentecostals and all through these years. I've always, in the name of Jesus, plead the blood. Glory to God. Are you listening to me? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Glory to God. It's worked quite well for me. Hallelujah. It'll work for you too. They overcame him by or because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Hallelujah. Well, finally, turn with me there to Revelation, the 5th chapter and the 9th verse. The blood of Jesus is precious because of its song-inspiring power. Hallelujah. Well, we've got a lot of songs. The lady just sang one before I preached. It was inspired. The blood inspired that song. But notice what Revelation said, Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song. Amen. Oh, glory to God. saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood. Whoa, glory to God. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, a new song for new souls in a new sphere. Hallelujah. Again, Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy precious holy word. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the blood. Redeemed, not with corruptible things, such as silver or gold, but by the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus. The blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. We have fellowship with you. We have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost. We have fellowship one with another, because we're walking in the light. And the blood of His Son, Christ Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. I'm clean. I'm clean. I'm clean because the blood of Jesus has made me clean. Glory to God. He hath put away sin. Thank God by the sacrifice of Himself. Peradventure, there's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, a young man or a young woman in this congregation tonight that has never been born again, never been washed in the blood. Speak to their hearts tonight. May the Spirit of God lead them to that fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Peradventure, there are those here tonight that are like I was one day, a church member, but trusting in church membership. I thought it was saved because I belong to the church. Speak to their hearts. Help them to know there's a new birth. Hallelujah. They can receive remission of sins and be born again and become personally acquainted with Jesus Christ. Peradventure, there are those that are backslidden, that are out of fellowship. May they come back home tonight like the prodigal son of old and say, Father, I've sinned against you, forgive me. And thank God, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us by His blood from all sin. May there not be one single person that's in this room tonight that'll miss heaven and die and go to hell. But may every single person of the sound of my voice make heaven their home. I ask it in Jesus' name for His honor and for His glory. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, we'll take a few moments. Peradventure, there is someone that lift their hands on any one of those three invitations that I presented. With that uplifted hand, say, yes, pray for me, please. Could I see your hand right now?